This program is presented by ERN. Check it out at ernlive.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is The Drive today at Pebble Beach, and I'm here with Barry McGuire and Jay Leno, and let's find out what's going on in Jay Leno's garage. So projects in Jay Leno's garage?
And Let me see. Garage? I bought a 3.5 Mercedes coupe, a 71. I always liked those because I used to work for Mercedes-Benz in that time.
Yeah.
And it's a one-owner car, 80,000 miles, and I got it for $25,000, so it's pretty good. So
nice.
I'm redoing that one, restoring that one. I'm finishing up a Frasier Nash. I got a bunch of motorcycles.
Frasier Nash.
Yeah.
Right. You have such an eclectic group of cars.
Yeah.
It's right.
A chain drive. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was in a garage yesterday here in the Monterey Peninsula, and the guy was showing me his 23-window Volkswagen van with the big, and sitting off in the corner was like a 50s Triumph motorcycle.
Right.
Just kind of leaning in the corner.
Right.
And I immediately thought of you. You're a big motorcycle guy,
too.
Oh,
I love motorcycles, yeah. Motorcycles are really the most...
Do I take a picture of that and send it to you? Because
sure.
I mean, it's
take a picture and send it to me.
I think he's forgotten that it's even, you know, valuable in any way.
I mean, motorcycles are fun because you can put 10 or 15 in them the place where you have one car.
Right.
You know? And I like motorcycles because they wear all their mechanicals on the outside.
Right,
you know?
Right.
You know, I grew up in... When I was a kid, they used to sell something called the engine dress-up kit.
Yeah.
Where you get the chrome valve
the bright
covers
work.
And, the, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. Now, nobody opens a hood anymore. They don't really care. Whereas motorcycles, when you look at a new Indy and you look at the new Harley, I mean, they're beautiful pieces of automotive sculpture because they've got to be attractive.
Right.
You know, they can't just run right. They've got to look good.
Because that's
you know?
What's selling them today.
Yeah, I remember Triumph made a 2.3-liter motorcycle. It was a three-cylinder inline, but it looked like a tractor engine. It's a wonderful motor. It's very powerful. But it wasn't pretty, and it didn't really sell very well. It just had the wrong sort of look. You know, I have a friend of mine who collects Maytag washing machine engines from like 1908 or whatever to about 1918. And I asked him why then. Because after 18, in the early days, the engine had a lot of chrome and copper, and you'd see all the little things move up and down as it turned the agitator, you know, the pulley was.
It was a mechanical ballet. Yeah, you could enjoy watching
it. The pulley
it.
Was brass, the whole deal like that. And then somebody said, you know, if we just put a white box over this thing and put it in the corner, okay. Well, now you don't see the motor anymore, so why bother with it? You
know? Yeah.
And that's why motorcycles are fun. Motorcycles are like the back of a watch. You know?
Yeah.
You see all the things moving.
Right. So, all right, I want to change gears a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this craziness with the Uber and Volvo? Have you heard about this lately? With the self-driving car, and now, you know, you're going to order up a car, it's going to pick you up.
It's kind of a misnomer, self-drive. I mean, the idea that you get in a car and hop in the back seat with a bottle of scotch and it takes you where you're going to go, it's not really where it is.
Right.
I mean, they're just driver aids, really, like anti-lock brakes. I remember people thought, oh, that's crazy, you know, whatever. But all these things, everybody's against it until the car beeps when it sees the kid in the driveway that you missed.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Then
right.
you go, oh, okay. I mean, most cars are already self-driving. I see people going down the street putting on lipstick and eating hamburgers. And
shaving.
They're texting. Yeah, so I go, okay, what's that?
Yeah, so then do you like all this technology or does it kind of get in the way?
No, I enjoy it because you can always go back. If you don't like it, you can always go
Turn
back
it
to a 50s car or a 30s car.
Or even in the new ones, you can disable it and drive the car.
That's right. That's right. I mean, to me, there are so many people that don't like driving cars, and those are the ones that bang into you.
Yeah.
You know, I drive a lot of really old cars, some that only have brakes in the rear wheels, and they're not very good. But just the fact that I'm paying attention makes me a more cautious driver than the idiot in the SUV who's texting and reading a book or doing whatever while he's driving.
What's your favorite kind of late model car? I mean, do you have anything out there that you just kind of go, yeah, I kind of like that? Like, I got a new Viper ACR. Have you driven it?
No, I haven't driven the newest one. I mean, I've got a couple of early Vipers, and they're wonderful cars.
This thing is—it's violent.
Yeah, no, it's
in a good way, right?
You know, I've got one of those Tesla P90Ds.
Oh, you do,
and
violent in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing much faster.
It's crazy.
It makes you rethink the whole camshaft piston thing.
Right.
I mean, all the weight is below the weight, the center line of the axle. I mean, they handle pretty good. And they're really, really fast. And there's nothing to do. You don't change fluids. You don't do anything.
Right.
You know,
no tune-up, no oil change.
Yeah, and it you know, it's $1.59 electricity to fill it up.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. And you can steal it from your neighbor when you plug
exactly,
in the extension cord.
Exactly.
So what are you talking about, Tesla? What do you think of Tesla? I mean, the company.
I'm a big fan. Yeah. I'm a big, you know, to me, in an era when so many car companies are going out of business, in the last decade, you lost Pontiac, you lost Oldsmobile, you lost all these things. And then you have new companies. You have McLaren's a brand new company. You have Tesla's a brand new company. And technology has enabled small startups to actually produce automobiles that you can drive and run on the
right,
street. So
right.
I think it actually helped. It's all good.
Electric motorcycle.
Electric motorcycles.
You did the Harley. I remember that.
Yeah. They don't really work. The smart thing about Tesla is it's a four-door car.
Right.
And you use it to get three other people from point A to point B relatively, you know, cheaply. Motorcycles are something you ride on a Saturday afternoon. An electric bike, you're good for an hour. And now you're stuck in Malibu for 8 hours while the thing charges
that's
up.
That's right.
You know, and nobody rides a motorcycle sedately. Whereas an electric car, you think, okay, you're creeping through traffic. Are you saving? You're getting more mileage because you're not, you know, you're not using it all up. Whereas a motorcycle, something you're always whacking that throttle open. I mean, they're fast.
Yeah.
But until battery capacity can reach a couple of hundred, you know, miles.
Right.
It's really. Right. I mean. Most electric bikes, you could go from my house to the rock store in Malibu, and that's it. You got one way.
Right.
You couldn't get back.
Looking at the car manufacturers today, who do you like out there?
You know, I'm real proud of the American manufacturers. Ford,
me too.
GM, finally competing on a world stage.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in the era when the performance option meant you got stripes and different wheels and a decal.
Yeah.
And the Europeans would sort of laugh at us because we had, you know, tufted velour upholstery.
Right.
And a four-speed, you know, whatever it is. Now you've got cars like, I mean, they're building the Mustang and selling it in Europe. And it's really hot.
It's a world car.
Them.
Yeah.
I mean, that new flat plane crank Ford engine is, I think, the greatest motor since the small block Chevy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I agree.
It's fast.
Look who peeled up to the microphone.
There we go.
Barry McGuire.
There you go. Barry loves days like this when it's rainy because they have to keep using his product to wipe the car down.
So. No, I need sunshine to show all the swirl marks. Detail the cars more.
Exactly.
They need more wax on those cars.
I have been asking Jay every question I've ever wanted to ask him. It's fun because, you know, electric cars, electric motorcycles, self-driving cars. And Barry, I guess the big question I have, you've been out on the lawn here. Do you have any collector car thoughts with Jay?
Collector car, is that a general enough statement? I don't know.
Because I've been doing all the new car stuff.
I mean, Barry and I are both old enough to see a change. I mean, when I was, I've seen less and less brass and more modern cars. As the hobby gets older and, you know, the guys that love the 30s, late 30s Packards and stuff, not quite as prevalent, and the prices aren't there anymore. You know, you put a 38 Packard in an auction now, it probably is not getting what it got maybe 10 years ago because the age is maxing out. Younger people don't really want a big straight eight car anymore. They're looking to something that was more, you know.
Yeah.
You're really seeing that. I mean, it's been coming, but I think with the prices here, which cars are still getting the money? We're into the second generation lovers of the great classics.
Yeah.
And now they're dying. I'm talking about my own generation, but we're losing that generation.
Right.
And so you look down and. Yeah, I stood there watching all the cars come on this morning, and we were commenting on that.
Yeah.
It's a lot different lineup of cars than we had even 5 years ago.
Yeah, like a 1964, I have a Mercer Raceabout. And a 1964, my Mercer Raceabout was the highest price ever paid for an antique car. It was $45,000. Because guys in their 60s in 1964 remember the Mercer as the GTO of their generation. Yeah. So that was the Duesenbergs were 10 to 15,000, and the Mercer was 45,000.
Right.
But then as those guys died out, and the next generation of guys, suddenly you had the 70s, 80s, 90s, when guys in their 60s remember the cars from the 30s, then Duesenberg became the mark.
We're lucky to have and witness 50 years of the GT, right? The GT40.
Right?
What do you think of the new Ford GT?
I think it's pretty amazing.
I know you have one in your garage. You had one. I saw the video.
Yeah, I got a 2005, and I'll get one of the new ones. I mean, the fun thing about the Ford GT is you realize it's smack dab in the middle of the auto evolution. You know, figure the cars really started to come in their own about 1910, So in 66, it was 50-something years old.
Yeah.
And now it's 50 years since then. So that's almost the middle point of automotive technology to where we are now.
Have you driven the new GT?
No, nobody's really driven the newest one yet.
Gosh, I thought maybe he would have, Barry.
No. We had the prototype at my garage, and we shot some video on it. But no, nobody's driven it yet. I'm anxious.
So what color are you getting?
I don't know. I'm going to see what's available. I'm thinking of something different. Maybe some... Corvette made a color called Sherwood Green that I loved back in the 60s.
Yeah.
It was a dark green, almost black, and it had a real classy look to it. I always used to love big block Corvettes in that color.
So yeah, they'll match the color of your tie. They'll do whatever. I thought I'd go way out this year on the car, and I thought I'd settle on black for a change.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Born Dodge. We'll be right back.